Here's a first-rate seaman, Captain Smollett. Here's the squire and the doctor with the map and such. I don't know where it is, do I? No more do you, says you. Well, then, the squire and the doctor shall find the treasure and help us to get it aboard. Then we'll see. If I was sure of all of you, I'd have Captain Smollett navigate us halfway back again before I struck. Why, we're all seamen aboard here, I should think, said the lad, Dick. We're all hands, you mean, snapped Silver. We can steer a course, but who's to set one? That's what all you gentlemen split on first and last. If I had my way, I'd have Captain Smollett work us back into the trades at least. Then we'd have no miscalculations and a spoonful of water a day. But I know the sort you are. I'll finish with him at the island, as soon as the treasure's on board. But you're never happy till you're drunk. Split my sides, I've a sick heart to sail with the likes of you. Easy, Long John, cried Israel. Who's crossing you? Why, how many tall ships, think ye now, have I seen laid aboard, and how many brisk lads drying in the sun at the execution dock, cried Silver, and all for this same hurry and hurry and hurry. You'll have your mouth full of rum tomorrow, and go hang. Well, asked Dick, when we do get the treasure, what are we to do with the rest of them, anyhow? That's the man for me, cried the cook admiringly. That's what I call business. Well, what do you think? Put 'em ashore and maroon 'em? That would have been England's way. Or cut 'em down like that much pork? That would have been Flint's or Billy Bones. Billy was the man for that, said Israel. Dead men don't bite, says he. Well, he's dead now himself. He knows the long and short of it now. Right you are, said Silver. But mark you here, I'm an easy man. I'm quite the gentleman, says you, but this time it's serious. Duty is duty, mates. I give my vote, death. When I'm in Parliament and riding in my coach, I don't want none of these sea lawyers in the cabin coming home unlooked for. Wait is what I say, but when the time comes, why, let a rip. John, cried Hans, you're a man. You'll say so, Israel, when you see, said Silver. Only one thing I claim. I claim Trelawney. I'll wring his calf's head off his body with these hands. Dick, he added, breaking off, you just jump up like a sweet lad and get me an apple to wet my pipe. You may fancy the terror I was in. I should have leaped out and run for it if I had found the strength, but my limbs and heart alike misgave me. I heard Dick begin to rise, and then someone seemingly stopped him, and the voice of Hans exclaimed, Oh, stop that. Don't you get sucking that bilge, John. Let's have a go of the rum. Dick, said Silver, I trust you. I've a gauge on the keg, mind. There's the key. You fill a pannikin and bring it up. Terrified as I was, I could not help thinking to myself that this must have been how Mr. Arrow got the strong waters that destroyed him. Dick was gone but a little while, and during his absence Israel spoke straight in the cook's ear. It was but a word or two that I could catch, and yet I gathered some important news, for, besides other scraps that tended to the same purpose, this whole clause was audible. Not another man of them will join. Hence there were still faithful men on board. When Dick returned, one after another of the trio took the pannikin and drank. One, to luck, another with a, Here's to old Flint, and Silver himself saying, Here's to ourselves. Just then a sort of brightness fell upon me in the barrel, and, looking up, I found the moon had risen, and was silvering the mizzen top and shining wet on the luff of the foresail, and almost at the same time the voice of the lookout shouted, Land ho!